Welcome to the show. This is your host, David Yanez, and you're listening to Midwatch with the Rev. God bless you. We have a special, special broadcast today. We have Pastor Bill Keller. He's with LivePrayer.com. He does so much things for the Lord and has such a strong heart. We're not going to go any further without introducing him because he is a mighty, mighty man of God, and we're glad to have him. We want to promote whatever he's doing. We want to be a part of it, and listeners, I want you to stay tuned to this because he's going to give you some great insight to what's happening in society, in politics, and in faith today. Brother Bill Keller, how are you, sir?
It's good to be with you, my friend, and welcome to your listeners. I'm glad to be on your program today.
Amen. LivePrayer.com, what is this, my brother?
13 years ago, I've been an evangelist for about 22 years now. 13 years ago, the Lord really put it upon my heart. I was in doing the normal evangelist thing, going around church to church, holding crusades, and God one night spoke to me so clear. He said, you know, the people that need to hear this message, they're not sitting inside these churches. They're standing out in these alleyways, in the highways, in the byways, the very place the Lord told us to go, you know, bring people in. And unfortunately, the church has gotten away from true evangelism. We've gone into this, what I call the Christian trough mentality, which consists of our churches, our Christian TV, and our Christian radio, and our Christian publishing. And we create this whole subculture, and in the process, we've extracted the salt and light from the marketplace. And then we look out, and we see, you know, 4,000 innocent babies getting slaughtered every 24 hours. We see homosexuality running rampant. We see all this sin just abounding. And we wonder, well, how could that happen? What happened? Not because of the sinners. They're just doing what they know to do. It happened because of us, the church. We have taken ourselves out of the game, and 13 years ago, God said, you know, get back into the marketplace. I set up a website called LivePrayer.com to basically write a daily message for people who wanted to read it on the issues of the day that are always dealt with from a biblical worldview. Currently, we have about 2.5 million people around the world that get that every morning. We get about 40,000 prayer requests every day, which I have a great team of about 700 retired pastors that help me respond to those.
Amen.
And it's just a daily, ongoing ministry to not only feed people daily, but minister the needs of people daily.
Amen, amen. So you've had some tremendous growth. That's a lot of emails to respond to on a daily basis. But God's giving some good men around you. That's awesome, my brother. So you also do a broadcast on there as well?
Yeah. We do a lot of YouTube stuff daily. I had an 8-year run on TV, on secular TV. I've done radio and TV over the last 12 years, but never on Christian stations. It's always been on secular stations.
Okay.
Again, our whole focus is to reach outside the four walls of the church, into the marketplace, reach those same people. I'm a regular guest on Howard Stern's program and other secular programs. But the difference is, unlike the gutless wonder Joel Osteen, I'm not sitting there trying to sell books or whatever and trying to candy coat stuff. I told people the hard truth, and you know the funny thing is, people want the truth. They're tired of the soft sell. They're tired of the ear tickling messages. They're tired of motivational speeches. They want truth because without truth, you can't really live a successful, victorious life.
That's true. That's very true. Well, brother, if you ever want to get on IPTV and have a broadcast, let me know, because we have Rev Media TV. And then also, if you want to have a radio broadcast, we can work something out as well and have a show or whatever on our station as well. So those are some options I just throw on your lap, and you pray about
Thank
it.
Thank you.
And if it's something Thanks. We can help you with. The same people that built Glenn Beck's IPTV built ours. So we got a good system getting into homes right now as well. But so tell me about what is Mitt Romney? Is the savior of Mormonism?
Well, yeah, we're coming up to a very critical time. I shared a message last November fairly prophetically that it was probably going to be Obama versus Romney, and that's going to do two things. Number one, it's going to create a dilemma for Christians, and number two, it's got a deeper spiritual implication. The spiritual implication is pretty clear. You know, God is finally, I mean, you know, if we're so arrogant to think that God didn't judge his own people, that he's not going to judge us, then that's just stupidity. I mean, we have tested God, we have tried God, we have mocked God for so long, and I believe that this option we now are facing in November is finally God saying, you know what, my hand of blessing, my hand of protection is gone. I'll still be with my people, as he always is, but as far as a nation. But for Christians, we've got a dilemma. On one hand, and I call it Satan flipping a two-headed coin with his face on both sides of the coin. Because on one side, you've got Barack Obama, a man by his words and deeds, the most pro-abortion, pro-homosexual, pro-enemy of Israel president in the history of this nation. How any Christian could in good conscience vote for a man that opposes God on every spiritual issue today, I have no idea. So then I hear people all the time say, well, you know, I guess I'll have to vote for Romney, the lesser of two evils. My friend, the lesser of two evils is still evil. And here's the problem with Romney. And again, because most people aren't really plugged in, they listen and they half listen and they don't really understand. When they hear Mitt Romney, Glenn Beck say, well, I'm a Christian, I believe in God, I believe in Jesus, they're lying to you. First of all, the God they believe in isn't the God of the Bible, because they believe God was once a man like you and me that ascended to God-like status. That's not the God of the Bible. Their Jesus is not the Jesus of the Bible. First of all, they deny the deity of Christ, and once you strip him of his deity, you've stripped Christianity away. But they also believe he's the brother of Lucifer. He was once in the United States during his earthly life. I mean, it is not the Jesus of the Bible. And when they talk about the Bible, they're not really talking about the Bible we know as the inspired and inerrant Word of God, because they view that as a flawed and incomplete book, only completed by their Book of Mormon, the Pearl of Great Price, and the Doctrines and Covenants. So when you hear a guy like Glenn Beck or a Mitt Romney say, yeah, I'm a Christian, they are lying to you. Second of all, because of what they believe, a Mormon's no more Christian than a Muslim is. So knowing that, and knowing that the Mormon cult is very aggressive in their proselytizing, my best estimates from friends I know in the workplace out in Utah and other places, they're looking to add 1 million people to their rolls if Mitt Romney's reelected president, just by virtue of him being president. He doesn't have to say a word. And what that means to a Christian, a biblical Christian, is that's 1 million people that are going to buy into the lies of Mormonism and die and go to hell. So how can you vote for a guy that's going to help people go to hell?
That's so true. That's so true.
And now we're left with the question, well, what's a Christian to do? And I'm going to break some news on your program here, brother.
Go ahead.
I know we didn't talk about this ahead of time, but Monday, I'm giving your audience a little advance notice. Monday, I'm launching an initiative. We're launching a sister site to our liveprayer.com site called votingforjesus.com. And what I'm encouraging Christians to do is say no to Satan. I'm not voting for Obama. Say no to Satan. I'm not voting for Romney. But what I am going to do as a Christian, exercising my civic responsibility in good conscience, I'm going to write in the name of Jesus. Because, you know, there probably will be third parties run, but we know third parties have no chance of winning. So why not take a stand for righteousness? Why not make a statement for Christ? Because our goal is to get 1 million people next November to write in the name of Jesus. And I'm telling you right now, we get 1 million people writing in the name of Jesus. You get ballots all over this country with a write-in vote for Jesus. We get 1 million-plus people writing in the name of Jesus. It's going to make a statement. It's going to be a stand. And it's time for Christians to quit playing around, because Satan is not playing around. And if we don't start taking a stand for righteousness, everything that we believe and everything that we know to be true is going to be gone.
That would be a unique thing to happen. So that would be nice. So you just write it in on the voting?
Yeah. On your ballot, there's always a place for a write-in candidate. And for president, don't check the box for Obama. Don't check the box for Romney. Say no to Satan in both cases and just write in the name of Jesus. And I'm telling, it's kind of interesting, because we've been putting this together for the last month. Just the other night in West Virginia, they had a write-in campaign for a federal inmate, And he got as many votes as President Obama did in a couple of counties. And it made all the national news. And that was just a few hundred people that did this. I'm telling you, it's time for Christians to take a stand saying we're not going to be mocked any longer. God bless those dear people in North Carolina that took a stand for God's holy institution, marriage. And I'm just telling you, that's just the beginning. Because this November, I'm telling you, we can have many people writing in the name of Jesus. It may change the election, whichever direction, I don't even care. But what it will do, it's going to make a statement that Christians are no longer going to sit back and be mocked, demeaned, made fun of. We're going to take our place, and we're going to start dictating how the culture goes instead of the culture dictating how we go.
That's so true. That's so true. I said when this man got elected originally there, I was like, you know what? This is something that we brought on ourselves as Christians.
Yep.
And with something that we've been so laid back and so allowing, you know, whatever. Now it's time for us to stand up.
Yep, you got it. And this is an incredible way to make that statement where Christians from all denominations can come together as the true body of Christ and make this stand together.
So talking about Obama there, what about that announcement he made, was it yesterday, about him supporting gay marriages?
Well, you know, I don't think anybody who really follows closely is surprised. He's always been for gay marriage. He just didn't have the guts to say it publicly because it's a hot political issue, and he's trying to garner as many votes as he can get. But he was losing money from the gay community, so of course he came out and did the politically expedient thing and put his voice behind it. But I mean, again, here you go. This is a true tool of Satan that will do anything, say anything to remain in power. And unfortunately, I know people say, well, Mitt Romney would be better than Barack Obama. Well, you know what? Politically, that may be true. But the problems in this country aren't political. They're spiritual. And unless we address the spiritual issues, there's no political solutions that are going to help this nation. And no Christian conscience can even begin to think about voting for a cult member who's going to help a million people plus end up in the lives of this cult, which means their soul's going to hell. And how can a Christian be party to that? So, you know, we're really in a bad place, but, you know, God put us in a bad place because it's time to stop looking to men and start looking back to God for our answers.
Amen. Now, do you think it's just some, I guess the best word would be ignorance for a lot of Christians to think that Mormons are saved?
Well, you know, again, you get these theological midgets committing spiritual malpractice, like Joel Osteen, you know, who says, yeah, he's my brother in Christ. He says he believes in Jesus. That's good enough for me. You know, and this idiot, you know, misleads people because, again, the Jesus Mitt Romney believes in is not the Jesus of the Bible, but Osteen's such a theological idiot. He maybe he doesn't even know that, and it makes people feel comfortable then following a guy like Romney. And again, any first semester Bible college student knows a Mormon's no more a Christian than a Muslim is. But unfortunately, we've got such weak and watered down preaching in our churches today, most people don't hear the truth, and they don't know the truth, and that's why they're ignorant to the truth.
You won't believe how many ministers I run into that don't look at Mormonism as a threat.
Exactly.
And I'm like, well,
that's because they don't care. That's because they don't care about souls anymore,
yeah.
My brother. They don't care about souls anymore. Saving souls, you know, is something that the church doesn't even put a premium on any longer. It's very.
Oh, I completely agree with you. I call it the cookie cutter faith. That's just what it's exactly how I see it, and maybe not how others see it, but, you know, you get the church this size, you do this many programs, you have this much time in your sermon, you put this kind of message in your sermon, you have this kind of music and this kind of kids stuff, and you're going to have a big, great church. So,
yeah, you got it.
And I'm like, no, where's the spirit in this? where's the faith? Where's the soul winning? Where's the, let's go out to the needy, let's go to those that are in the streets. Where is that passion for that?
Yep. Exactly. Exactly.
So tell us about the great white horse prophecy here.
Well, the Great White Horse Prophecy, 200 years ago, when Joseph Smith, the founder of Mormonism, started this cult, one of his quote-unquote prophecies was that the country would be in disarray, financial and economic distress, social unrest. A Mormon would get elected to become president, and in the chaos that was going on, would set aside the U.S. Constitution, enact a Mormon theocracy, and basically save the nation via Mormonism. And I know a lot of people think that that sounds outlandish, but this is what guys like Beck and Romney and other Mormons really believe. They'll never admit it, because to admit it makes them seem like idiots and just fools. But this is what they really believe. And that's why, you know, you get news commentators saying, well, you know, there's something really wrong about Romney. There's something a little off about Romney. And what they don't get is he's guided by his wacky beliefs, and that's why he is a little off, because that's what he truly believes. And you know, he's living his life based on those beliefs.
And when with this all coming together right there, what do you think is going to happen in November?
At this point, you know, Christians, like I said, I'm encouraging people, write in the name of Jesus, and then get on your knees and trust God. Because really, again, the problems of this nation, do we have political problems? Of course. But there's no politicians going to solve the real problems, and those are spiritual. And unless we have a Nineveh moment, get back on our knees, you know, seek the Lord with all of our heart and all of our soul, turn back to God. Unless we do that, you know, it doesn't matter who's president, it doesn't matter who's in the House, who's in the Congress, it doesn't matter, because the problems in this nation, what's going to drive this nation to its destruction, is not politics. It's our turning our back on God and His truth.
Prayer is important, my brother, and I know you know that.
Yep.
Tell us about some of the things that prayer requests that came in and miracles that God has done for the people there.
Well, we get about 40,000, like I said, approximately 40,000 emails every day from all over the world for prayer, and you know, they break down pretty evenly every day between, you know, financial problems and health problems and relationship issues and, you know, people battling with addictions and just the day to day issues that, you know, we all face in life. I just want to encourage your listeners that, you know, if you're going through a tough time, know that there's no need you have too small or too great for God, and God is going to stand with you, and He's going to help you through it if you will trust Him, and if you will, you know, call out His name, and if you will put your faith in Him, He'll see you through. He really will. He's a God of miracles, and we see Him every day between relationships healed and bodies healed and finances miraculously appearing and of course the greatest miracle of all, when somebody gets saved. I mean, God's still out there doing His job. You know, we just need to acknowledge that and tap into that and start harnessing that and get Him back where He belongs, on the throne not only of our own lives but on the throne of this nation.
So do you still go out and preach different places?
Not that much. My schedules are so tight because, you know, again, the internet work here is 7 days a week. You know, we've got so much going on. I do a couple daily messages on YouTube every day, and a weekly message on our Life Prayer Church site. I'm pretty locked into what we're doing, but you know, I feel that we're reaching a good number of people, more people than I could reach if I was physically out preaching, just through what we're doing online every day. And we're reaching the right kind of people. Yeah, we've got a lot of believers tapped into us, but we also have a lot of unbelievers. They're just searching and looking for answers tapped into us, and that's who we, you know, that's who we really cater to and try to reach out to.
Well, you know, I've been on your website checking it out and stuff, and I got to tell you, man, that's some nice stuff you have there. A lot of different things for almost anyone, any need that they may have. They have different type of prayer requests that you can be in there. The Live Prayer Miracle Center?
Yep.
I mean, if you haven't gone to the site, go to liveprayer.com, and you're going to be able to see a lot of stuff. And they can also get your audio devotional right there and sign up, can't they?
Yep, they can sign up to get it. It'll come in your email box every morning. Like I said, there's about 2.5 million people around the world that get it every morning. And we deal with just all the daily issues of life that we all face, but from a biblical worldview, a lot of the major things are in the news every day, dealing with those issues from a biblical worldview and just trying to help people find, you know, to just find where they need to be with the Lord, because, at the, you know, we're in the last days and everybody needs to be not only plugged in, but really working hard for the Lord in these last days.
Wow, this got to take you a lot of time to do these things, because I know, I mean, getting ready for a show for myself, we go, what, 3 days live a week, and we have 2 days we do replay stuff. But it's still, it's time-consuming. And then also to post everything, and you have to have a good team with you, my brother. That's a lot to do.
We're very blessed. We are very blessed.
Amen. Yeah. So do you also do radio as well?
I've done radio over the years. I'm not doing anything on radio right now. Again, we've been very focused on, the internet's really always been our main outreach. And even though I've done a lot of TV, I did a live show 5 nights a week, an hour live a night for five nights a week for almost 7 years on about 20 CBS stations around the country. And, times have changed. I'm telling you, even in the last few years, I mean, you know, people that don't want to hear the truth, they're very antagonistic to anyone who's telling the truth. You know, you can put two guys kissing on TV, but don't tell two people, or don't tell somebody on TV that, you know, homosexuality is a sin. They don't like that.
Man. Amen. Yeah. Amen. I had a friend telling me that we're driving to an event, and he's like, so what do you think, what is your idea on the last days and tribulation? I go, well, seems like we're in them, brother. I mean, you got gays marrying gays. You're getting more rights for people of other faiths and Muslims and Mormons and anything else. But if you mention Christianity, you're taboo almost. You're like, what are you talking about? In a nation that's supposed to be God-fearing.
Yep.
You can't deny persecution. You look at people all over the world that are in faith that do die and do get killed on a daily basis for following the Lord. And I mean, you can't say that you know, this is pre or post or pre or whatever. I mean, hey, you know, it's going to get tough, and you just got to keep going forward. And this is the time to save souls. This is the time to get your life right. This is the time to make sure that you're doing everything you can to change people's lives, because it's not just about you. It's about getting people saved for the Lord.
That's 100% correct, my brother. It really is. Yeah, it's a perilous time we're living in, but it's also an exciting time, because those who are serious about the Lord, this is a great opportunity for God to use your life, and so you can really make a difference. Because, you know, when you take your last breath at the end of the day, you know, I don't care if you got 20 buildings with your name on it or 15 streets with your name on it. Those things are all going to be gone one day anyway, but what won't ever be gone are those souls you touch for eternity. That's our real lasting legacy, and that's what people need to be focused on.
Mm. So what's next for you this year? What are some things coming up for you?
Well, again, you know, we've got this big initiative starting Monday for the Writing for Jesus on the presidential election, and that we're going to be really pushing that hard throughout the year. I mean, we're really going to be gearing up hard to get 1 million people on board with this, and because I have a really sneaky feeling that this is going to not only catch fire, but I could literally see 5, 6, 7 million people writing the name of Jesus. I'm telling you, it's going to turn the whole election upside down, and it's going to change the conversation from Barack Obama and Mitt Romney to Jesus. And why would 4 or 5 million people actually write in the name of Jesus? And it's going to drive the media crazy, but that's good, because at least it opens the door for the conversation. And, you know, one reason why, you know, I'm banned from Fox News is because whenever I was on Fox News, I'd always tell them, I was on, you know, Riley a bunch of times, Hannity a bunch of times, but I would always tell people, hey, listen, unless you come to know Jesus as your Savior, you know, one day you're going to take your last breath, die, and go to hell. And, of course, that's not a message even the great Fox News wants people to hear, but that's the truth. And now, more than ever, that's a message that people need to be not only told, not just told, but people need to really think about. And I just encourage anybody listening to your program today, if you haven't made that decision, know that the Bible says today's your day of salvation. Don't play salvation roulette. Don't think, well, maybe I could do this tomorrow or the next day, because the Bible says tomorrow's promised to none of us. And today's the day Now's the time. If you've never made that decision, it's the only decision you're going to make in this life that's going to have eternal consequences.
Amen. Amen. Well, lead us through the sinner's prayer, my brother.
Pardon me?
Go ahead and lead us through the sinner's prayer for those that are listening.
I'd love to. Anybody listening right now that's never made that decision, you know, God made this very simple. First of all, Jesus already did the hard part. He died. All you've got to do is be willing to admit that you've sinned, admit that you've fallen short, ask God to save you, and the Bible says he will hear your voice and he will save you. So if you've never made that commitment, just pray with me. And these words aren't going to save you. They're just a verbal guide for what you're doing in your heart. But if you're really at that place where you want Jesus to save you, pray with me. Dear Lord, I come to you today. I am a sinner, and I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I know I've fallen short. I know I haven't done everything the way I should have, but I thank you that you died so my sins can be forgiven. Come into my heart today. Save me. Make me yours. And from this day forward, I promise to live for you. I promise to serve you. My life belongs to you. It's in Jesus' name I ask these things. I pray these things. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. My brother, why don't you let everybody know how they can be a part of your ministry and what they can do to help you?
Sure. Well, again, I know everybody listening is going through something today. We all are. And if you've got needs today, just go to our website, Live Prayer, one word, L-I-V-E, prayer, liveprayer.com. There's a prayer request link there. Just click on it. An email form will pop up. Just type in your prayer request, send it to us. Within 12 hours, you'll get a personal response back. And we just love to stand with you and agree with you for whatever your needs are and know that God is a God not only of miracles, but he's also a God of answered prayer. And all you got to do is just ask him. And it's amazing if we just ask what God will do for us.
Amen. Amen. My brother, if you have any of your archives and stuff for your videos or your audios, get back with me, you know, after the show or send me an email and then we can try and get them and put them on our station. And at least broadcast.
Okay, great.
And definitely for the writing for Jesus, get me a promo put together, and I'll play it regularly throughout the broadcast. We have four channels. We have a talk radio, sermon channel, music channel, and we have a prayer and counseling channel. So you definitely fit on the prayer and counseling, but you're also on the talk radio. So just let's get together and figure out what you have, and then what we can do is just start throwing it on there. We have David Woods out of I think he's out of Washington. I think, or no, he's out of Portland, and he does a four-hour prayer thing at night, 4 hours live.
Right.
And so you'd fit right in there with prayer and everything on the new channel.
Well, great, brother. I'll email you sometime later today and kind of give you a list of the things that we've got, and you can pick and choose what would fit with what you're doing, and love to work with you and stand with you and just stand together for the Lord in these last days.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for coming on the show. Again, liveprayer.com with Bill Keller. You can listen to his audio devotionals. He has a YouTube with devotionals as well. He has videos on there. And there's so many ways you can connect with him, but you have to go over there. Tell us before you go about the Jonah Project. What is that?
The Jonah Project is a call that we made a couple years ago for people to come together to help create a Nineveh moment for this nation, which basically... It is simple. We've only got one hope for this nation. That's to turn back to God and to his truth and repent, just like Nineveh did. And I believe we can see the hand of God's judgment stayed for a season if we'll truly do what Nineveh did, repent, fall on our face, and turn back to God.
Amen. There has to be more ministers and more Christians with your heart, brother. You know, so if anyone wants to join that project, they can still join that, correct?
Absolutely. Yep.
You can find information on liveprayer.com, and he'll be able to, or someone will get in contact with you and tell you what you got to do. All right, my brother, thanks again for coming by. If there's any last word, any last departing words from the show that you want to say to anyone out there?
All I got to say is know that the Lord is still in the miracle business. He's still taking care of his people, and now more than ever, if we'll just turn to him, we can see God's hand at work, not only in our lives, but in this nation. That's what we're working towards.
Amen. Amen. Thanks again for being a part of the show, my brother. Anytime you want to come back, let me know. And all right, God bless. Thank you.
Thanks so much. God bless you, buddy.
Bye-bye. That was Brother Pastor Bill Keller, and he is with LifePrayer.com. He has a lot of stuff running on his site, so if you need to get an idea of what he's doing and what he has, just go to his site, LifePrayer.com. We're very grateful that he took the time out of his busy schedule. He's just as busy as myself and anyone else that's running a media ministry and ministering as well and running a church. So anyway, get a hold of him, LifePrayer.com. I am going to play you a quick audio devotional right now of one of his.
This is Bill Keller, founder of LifePrayer.com, with the daily devotional for Thursday, May 10th, 2012.
This one's for you guys.
The scripture comes from Isaiah 41, verse 10. So I was in prayer this morning about what God would have me to say to you today. He brought this powerful verse from the book of Isaiah into my mind, told me many of you today needed to be encouraged and reassured that God had not left you. Still on the throne, still in charge. The Bible promises that he will never leave us nor forsake us. Let me say it this way. God's never left you, although you may have left him. How can you fear anything, a person, a situation, a circumstance, when God's with you? But the promise of this verse just doesn't end with his presence. To me, the power in the verse is his promise to help us. Every morning when I look into the mirror in my bathroom, first thing I see is a Bible verse from John 15 that says, without me you can do nothing. I never want to start the day trusting my own strength or wisdom, but relying on what God provides. It's such a comfort to know that God is with me, helping me. That's why I have such confidence, even in the face of what may appear to be overwhelming odds, that God's with me. He's helping me. The Bible says that if he's with me, who can be against me? That promise also applies to you. Let you put this truth in your heart and mind, start living a confident, victorious life now. There's no better time than put God to the test. If you're willing to blindly trust strangers every day with your life, why not put your trust in the God of the universe who loves you so much he sent his son to die for your sins? That God that not only promises to never leave you, but also promises to help you. Let me give you a word of encouragement. God still has a people, still has a remnant. We saw that remnant rise up in North Carolina in support of his holy institution of marriage. This Monday, I'll be launching a major initiative that all Christians can participate in that will not just make a statement to this nation, we will not go away, but I believe be the start of changing the spiritual course of our land. Love you and care about you deeply. I want to see you rise above whatever the situations in your life may be and live that victorious life. Not only do you then become a living testimony of God's power, but you're free to serve him without being so distracted by the events of life. Overcoming hurdles gives you the freedom to help others overcome their hurdles. Keep praying for this ministry, those who come to us each day for help, and those God will lead in the future. Your prayers and support make it possible for us to be here for people in their hour of need, to share with them the hope we have in Jesus Christ. In his love and service, your friend and brother in Christ, Bill Keller. If I can help you, please don't hesitate to email me, bkeller@liveprayer.com.
Amen and amen. That was Bill Keller's audio devotional. He was just on the show, and we had a great show with him. Let me give you his phone as well. You can also listen to the daily devotional by phone by calling 727-342-5673 or access it on your wireless device by going to http://wapdd.com, and you can find all this information on liveprayer.com. Again, that number to access those devotionals daily is 727-342-5673. And I tell you what, my friends, we have had a great show, and it is important to pray. I mean, what he was talking about, Nineveh, we need a Nineveh moment. We do, and that's part of the Jonah Project that he has put together to call people together for that. I really believe that we need that. I've always felt that, always known that. That doesn't take God's people to pray. You know, years ago when this current administration took office, I knew that we brought this on ourselves, that we have been laxed. We have been rested. We have been lazy. And it was time for the church, the real church, not the buildings that are out there, but the people to stand up and do something for God. It was not a accident that this happened. It was not by mistake that this happened, but it was, you know, by divine order that we have allowed ourselves to let things go in our faith and in our rights. And you know, it's time to get started. So if anything, I had actually some people ask me right after the election and stuff, they were angry. Some friends of mine, they were angry that this happened and that they wanted to move out of the country. And I just kind of cracked up and I told them, hey, you know what, you can run from this, but it's not going to change things. God is looking for people that are going to stand up in faith and in prayer. He's looking for us to pray. You know, when the whole society is changing around you, and one man can't change it, praise God, but one God can. And you have to be able to stand there in prayer and believe and trust that he will do the things that he says in his word. You know, I am crazy. I am. I believe the Bible is what it will do, what it says it will do. I trust that it will make it happen. I trust that my faith in God will take care of me and my family. And so why can't I trust God and the fact that it's going to take care of this nation? So God is wanting people to stand up. God is wanting people to be stronger in faith. God is wanting people to be able to stand tall, able to stand in the midst of all this. He wants you to stand. He wants you to put together a hands of faith and trust him. And just put together our hands and believe that God is going to do something awesome. He's going to do something awesome. Hey, you got to remind me to open up my chat tango, our chat window, because I don't see it right now on. And the other day we had several people. In fact, we had more people on that day that we had Brother John Slit from Petra. And I hope you went and got his CD. We had several people chime in and want to get information and stuff. And I'm going ahead and open the window now. Of course, Rome was at the end of our broadcast, so I need to make sure I open up this window before we get started so we can be able to have live chats online as well. Anyway, my friends, I hope you enjoyed today's show. I hope something is strong for you. I'm going to play a quick promo, and we'll be right back.
Do you believe in a living constitution? Living things change and die. The Constitution does not. Its purpose? To limit dangerous government power. The U.S. Constitution, the law of the land that federal officials have sworn to uphold, is an obstacle only to the lawless. It's like those who ignore the speed limit for what suits them. Some people treat God's law that way too. Instead of adjusting themselves to it, they adjust it to what suits them. They are a law unto themselves. Activist judges are lawless judges. Only the lawless believe in living laws, and lawless people are criminals at heart. Lawful people meditate in God's law day and night and are like trees planted by rivers of water. ChurchOfTheKingMacAllen.com on Ware Road, just south of Trenton. Side with God against yourself and be a winner. Lose your life to Christ and save it. 585-4400.
A 60-second look at sports with Dr. Dwight Allen.
I asked the rookie quarterback for the Cleveland Browns, Colt McCoy, his favorite scripture verses.
Colossians 3:23 says, "For whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as if working for the Lord." And, you know, one of my favorite, you know, books in the Bible, you know, talking about struggles, talking about downs, and is Job, the book of Job. And in Job chapter 8, verse 7, it says, "So humble will your beginnings be, but so prosperous will your future be." And just got to keep those things in perspective, keep fighting. And, you know, I know the future is so bright, but, you know, having to overcome struggles and down times like this is what, you know, really makes you who you are.
Now go to asecondlookatsports.org.
Amen. Well, you know, we're having a great show talking about prayer, talking about politics. And you know me, I hardly ever talk about politics. I keep that, you know, to myself. But, you know, I need to get more involved. I do. And we all do. We all do. Not necessarily to the point that we're just trying to be involved in this every time. But, you know, we're going to be starting a new show here on Midwatch. And I guess it's a good time to talk about it. It's with my good friend, Ian, and he is in Florida, and his name is Ian Podhazer, and he is a cool dude, really cool. He's been on the show with us before. He's been on the interview with us, and I'm going to play you a quick 5-minute recording that we did with him at the NRB. Kind of talks about some rights and stuff, but also government. I want to tell you something about the new book. It has been a book out for about almost a year now. Jesus of Nazareth, Socialist or Capitalist, David Hope. We're going to have him on the air with us hopefully soon. This is my pastor. We just added a chapter, and we're doing some rethinking on things. And not rethink, we're doing some additions to it. We added a chapter on envy, which is really good. But what I want to read you was out of the last chapter of his book, the chapter, I think it's just the comments or something at the end notes. But anyway, here goes. It says, this is a famous quote, and it's so true in today's market and what we have and what today is all about. And that is this. Government exists to protect us from each other. Where government has gone beyond its limits is in deciding to protect us from ourselves. And that was from one of the greatest presidents ever, Mr. Ronald Reagan. That was one of his quotes on there. So I'm going to play you something from Mr. Ian, and we're going to close off in a few minutes. But we had a great show with Bill, a great show. And give me a second. I'm going to load this up. And I got to find them here on my player and make sure we have it because we may not have it. But I tell you what, God is faithful to bring us some good people that we can talk to and just have them around and have faith. I'm sorry, Irwin. He's going to be mad. I keep calling him Ian. This is Irwin. Okay, we'll be right back. Here's a message from Irwin. Tell us, Irwin. You just had a press conference. First of all, tell us your last name. It's not Smith.
Dude, it's Smith.
It is not
what
Smith.
What is wrong with you? Can't you?
It's
you know,
P-O-D-H-A-J Potthazer.
Yeah, not bad.
Potthazer?
Yeah, Smith. Potthazer.
Potthazer, okay.
Yeah, you know, it was not easy growing up with that last name.
I'm about to say.
Yeah, on the streets of Miami, I had to grow up with that last name. And then with the first name Irwin, you would think, at least give me some tough-sounding first name. You know,
yeah.
Zach. You know, something like that. Zach Potthazer. But no, they had to do Irwin. The only Irwins in Miami is me and another guy who's like 95 years old, retired on South Beach.
Wow.
I had to learn how to fight because of that last name.
Did you?
Yes.
Man, I'm going to get you queued up on the camera here before we go into the main part of what we're talking about. You just had a press conference, Irwin.
Yes, I did.
And did you speak at this press conference?
Yes, I did. And they let me say a few words.
And were they satisfied with what you said?
I don't know. I mean, they did throw some tomatoes and a couple of chairs, but other than that, I'm whole.
Hey, push that one chair out of the picture there. Just throw it. I don't care. Okay,
there
good. Perfect. You're good. You look lined up now. Okay. So, press conference. First of all, thanks for coming on the show. Erwin, I tell you, it's going to be a hard interview with this guy. It's going to be a hard
one. Is anyone actually looking at that video?
Well, it's not. It's just being recorded. I can edit.
It's just being recorded.
Yeah. So this is a recording. Now, this is a live feed, so people are listening to you. So
hello, people that are out there.
I met Erwin last night over dinner. We both had a steak. And he likes his rare, medium rare.
Yes, like real men eat their steaks medium rare.
I've been hearing this all night.
How did you eat yours?
Medium.
Medium. Jeez. That's like lukewarm Christianity right there. You know what I mean? Right there, that's like lukewarm Christianity. You know, it's medium rare, even rare. You know, if you're really, really like, you know, tough, then you can do
it. It was a good
rare.
Steak, though, right?
It wasn't bad. It wasn't not bad.
Price.
It was a good $18 steak, yes.
Yeah, it was good.
Yes,
it was good.
It's better than the $50 overpriced steak where we're staying.
Yeah, we're not going to say anything too negative, but yeah, it's kind of pricey where we're at today. But anyway, tell us about this press conference. I mean, you mentioned some things that last night that I felt we need to get on the air and let people know this is happening. First of all, I'll start with, I guess, what the whole idea is with what they were trying to do and then what got just passed.
Yeah, well, it's actually sitting on the desk of the president as we speak. I have to get an update. He could have already signed it. The wireless companies, specifically AT&T and Verizon more than any of them, basically said we need more spectrum. We need more ability to, you know, for tablets and smartphones. And so, hey, let's grab it from the broadcasters. So they tried to push, and some people wanted to push it to where the broadcasters would have no say and they would just lose their over-the-air signal. So for those of you that, you know, receive TV via an antenna or so forth, all those people would go dark in many parts of the country. Well, they were successful in putting together a bill that at least gives some broadcasters some protection to where they can't be forced off the air. But there are literally hundreds and thousands of small stations, and many of them religious stations, that could literally be wiped out.
Just with legislation.
Just with legislation. And it was being pushed by AT&T and Verizon. And what's funny is AT&T and Verizon and the, what is called the CTIA, which is a group that represents wireless companies, were spending millions of dollars to lobby Congress, the same Congress that they spend millions of dollars on their campaigns, and the same Congress that gave them billions of dollars in tax breaks. So basically, they are going to take the free airwaves and now put it into AT&T and Verizon, sell it to them for pennies on the dollar, and then AT&T and Verizon are going to charge you a lot more money to use it. Now, what's even worse about this is broadcasters came forward and said, with a few rule changes, broadcasters could be part of the broadband solution. So with a few changes, imagine picking up your iPhone or your Android phone or your tablet and being able to watch all your local channels on these things for free. Imagine when AT&T, if there's a video that everyone's trying to download, it could go right through the broadcast spectrum right to your phones. And it would solve all the problems that the wireless companies are saying they're having. It would bring down costs. It would create thousands of jobs. And in addition to that, your average TV station could broadcast dozens of stations on just one station. Like,
wow.
You know, so like when you have a digital TV and you're going through it, you'll see like channel 13, then you'll see channel 13.2 and 13.3.
Yeah, I always wonder what that was.
Well, what that is because TV's digital now. Let's say your ABC station, the station you like watching that has ABC, they also have the ability to do what are called sub-channels or multicast channels, which means they can air like an all-weather channel, or they can air a family channel, or you know, oldies and things like that. And so that's why you get the 0.2, 0.3, 0.4. Well, with a new system, it wouldn't be 0.2, 0.3, 0.4. It would be 0.1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17.
Okay.
So you would be able to put an antenna up, and not even, they have these new antennas that would just go in the attic and that it would work, and you would be able to turn on your TV, and especially in large markets, you would maybe have 100 channels over there. Free.
Wow.
Free. And all that with just a simple rule change. But instead of doing that, and the other thing that the federal government was told is this would bring in eventually over $100 billion to the U.S. Treasury.
Oh, my gosh.
But instead of taking that deal, they listened to the wireless industry and took a deal that will only get them $15 billion, and it won't give them $15 billion till maybe 10 years from now, and that's maybe, and if they do get the $15 billion, it's one time. If you let the TV stations do this, they would be collecting billions every year from the TV stations.
Wow.
But that's your U.S. government for you folks.
Mm.
They tried to destroy 40% of your TV stations, sell the airwaves to only a couple of big wireless companies for pennies on the dollars of what they're really worth, and they turned down tens of billions, even hundreds of billions of dollars that could start flowing into them, all because a couple of companies give some politicians a lot of money.
And tell us the company you're with, the organization you're with right now.
Well, the organization I am with currently is called the Coalition for Free TV and Broadband. But we just announced, literally just a few minutes ago, that we are becoming the Advanced Television Broadcasting Alliance. And you can go to broadcastingalliance.org, that's broadcastingalliance.org, and our initial website's up, more to come.
Okay.
There's a free membership for those who just want to keep informed, and then there's a membership that's $200, and some individuals and companies are giving large donations to make this happen. And what we're going to do and what we've dedicated ourselves to as an organization, and I'm a volunteer for this organization,
okay.
As the chairman, a volunteer, is that we are going to promote that television spectrum needs to remain with the television broadcasters. It needs to remain in the free over-the-air system, and that we put that new, what is called technology in the TV industry, it's called a standard, but a new technology to this spectrum that will allow TV stations to air all these multiple programs. So instead of just one, each station you have will be actually become dozens of stations.
You'll have
all this programming, and imagine picking up your smartphone, turning it on, and with a simple touch of a button, you could watch free.
You're telling me about that. Just all they have to do is upgrade another chip in there or something?
Well, here's the thing. Currently, it's possible now, but you have to convince all the makers to put in an extra chip, and so it's a little bit harder. With changing the way we deliver the signal, it would work with the way the phones are currently being made. So you wouldn't have to add a separate chip. And so you'll see some mobile TV rolling out.
Amen.
But if they do this simple rule change, you would see a lot more. More people would be able to get it, and you would be able to receive dozens, if not hundreds, of over-the-air signals.
Now, what can our listeners do, and then what can the general public do to actually do something about changing some of this? Because it's all legislation, and it's all political, and it's all onto that stuff.
Well, you know, if you go to broadcastingalliance.org and you sign up for the free membership, you're going to be kept informed. And there are going to be times where we are going to send out and say, look, this senator is going to be key to making this happen. And it will send out a notice. And if you live in that state, you should call that senator and say, look, I want this to happen. It comes down to this, and to the listeners that are out there. Look, I'm a believer in big business. I think corporations are a good thing.
Yes, definitely.
Okay, I think business is a good thing. They hire people. I have a job because a corporation hired me. I believe that there's a role for government. I think government is a good thing. The problem is when government and corporations get together and skew the rules that is to where the decisions that are being made aren't what is good for the consumer, isn't what is good for America, but it's what's good for a few people and a few big corporations.
Yeah.
And so I'm not anti-corporation here, and I'm not necessarily anti-government. I'm anti what a lot of people are called crony capitalism, and that's what's happening. And the only way you defeat that is for the people to say, this is wrong. Mm. And so there are many instances and different ways and different industries where this is happening. And in the broadcast industry right now, I'm just telling your listeners, the way crony capitalism is happening now is a few big wireless companies are basically trying to steal the over-the-air free over-the-air from the television stations. And the television stations that are going to get hurt the worst in this are not the big ones. It's the small ones that churches run.
Independent.
That small companies run. And so the big ones are going to do fine. And the big corporate-owned ones are going to do fine. So they're going to crush the little guy to help the big guy. And you know what? That's not the American way. The American way is yes, competition and so forth, but it's not the government taking one side and crushing the little guy. That's wrong. It's wrong, and it's wrong.
All right, man. I am excited about this, and I want to make sure that we get your information right again. Can you give them the information that they need to contact you with again?
Again, you can go, and we have our basic website up right now. It's broadcastingalliance.org, broadcastingalliance.org. And there are two types of memberships there. One is a free, and we challenge you to just sign up for the free membership if you're just an average television viewer and you want to be kept informed,
yeah.
And we'd be more than happy to do so.
And there'll be something for you to do. You know, our freedoms are taken because we don't act.
Right.
And we need to act, and especially when it's something that we're using to reach people. And I'm sure if they're going to do it with the television stations, well, it's only a matter of time. They're going to figure out something to do with the Internet and something to do with the radio. And you know, we just got to start putting a stop to it now. And we're going to see some good things happen. Erwin, You crazy man.
Great to see you again.
Great to see you again,
okay,
too, brother.
Now, you know, be brave next time. Medium rare.
Okay? Medium rare. I will try that next time. And, well, that's actually the end of our show. Erin, you were our last guest, and we appreciate you.
Going out on a high note?
Yeah, going out on a high note.
Did I just ruin it for everyone? And
you know, it was hard to follow up.
After Irwin, man, no one's listening anymore.
Well, if I have anyone, well, you know what? Thank God we have Miss America 2011 tomorrow at 2 o'clock, Erin, you come here.
Where? What?
Miss America 2011.
Oh, look at that. My wedding ring just fell off. Wow.
But yeah, tell them about this ring.
Oh, this is, ladies and gentlemen, I am wearing on my right hand a very large, beautiful ring, and it says National Champions, University of Miami Football, 2002 Rose Bowl.
Were you the punter?
Huh? I the punter? Was I the punter? Well, you know the receiver who caught the winning touchdown?
Yeah.
I know him. I was the chaplain. The chaplain of the team.
Awesome.
And you know what? Since I left, they haven't won.
Oh, they need more prayer. They need more prayer. When you go there, go do
Well, you know, the current chaplain is my friend. He hates it when I tell people, you know, they haven't won since I left.
Since they change chaplains.
You know what? Chaplains, that's it.
Did they spray Ichabod across the top? Don't tell him that. He's going to feel really bad. That means, you know, the glory of the Lord's departed.
Right.
For those that
don't
know the joke.
You are recording this so I can send it to him?
Yeah, definitely. It's gonna be there for him.
Great.
Well, anyway, our friends, thank you for listening with us from the NRB Convention. We're going to be here tomorrow again. We have Phil Kagi, Miss America 2011. We have John Smith, the lead singer from Petra back in the day. And then we also have a few more great guests that you're going to enjoy. Thank you again for listening. And I would have my exit music, but I don't have all the audio set up. So you know me. I love you. God bless you. Thank you for listening to Midwatch with the Rev. Amen. Amen. That was from the NRB. And we had a great time when we were there. Irwin's an awesome man. I'm probably going to see him at the ICRS coming up in Orlando, most likely, because he's in Miami, so that's not that far of a drive for him to go up there and do some publicity stuff for his cause that he's working with. Just wanted to give you a heads up. We have next week, where is my guest list? We're pretty much booked up all the way up to June now with guests, so I hope you're enjoying this, because this is the format we're using, and it's good. It's good. I believe people are being blessed with it. People are being touched with it. And we'll see. We'll see what God does. We'll see how God does the things that he can do. Only God can open doors. Amen? Any doors that we try and open, well, we're not going to get the best out of it. We may get something out of it, but not the best. And when God opens a door, we get the best. We're going to be with Joe Kisak next week. In fact, I just got his book in the mail. So I'm going to have to go look through it. And he is a good man of God, Colonel Steve, on Thursday on the 17th, and I am going to be on Agent Outside the Box in the evening on the 17th as well. So pretty busy week next week. The following week, we're going to have, let's see, what do we got? Oh, following week we have three interviews, or two more interviews, Joe Chernoff and Phil Brassfield. Phil Brassfield. I guess you need a little bit more information besides Phil. Most of these are authors and stuff, so we'll be able to go over their books and everything. So we are looking forward to some of these interviews. All these interviews, but we're looking at so forward to just getting out there and getting more people out to y'all, the listeners, to y'all. You can tell I'm texting to y'all to get this out to you. So anyway, God bless you. We'll see you next time on the Midwatch, my brother and my sister. Remember, our address is P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas, 77325. Again, that address is P.O. Box 5172. Kingwood, Texas, 77325. Rev Media Network, you can write us with that address. And my email is david@revmedianetwork.com. I'm going to look at the chat tango one more time, our chat line real quick, and see if there are any chats in there. And there's no chats today. Come on, people. It's right underneath the player. You can send me a little message that you're listening and give me an idea of what you want to talk about. But we're closing out, so see you next time on the Big Watch. God bless you.
The views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this station, this show, or its hosts.